This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director, talking with Fran Stenberg. And Fran, you've been with the Union Gospel Mission for probably as long as some people are alive. How long has it been?
Almost. Next year will be 38.
38 years you've been with the Union yep. Gospel Mission. Now, the Union Gospel Mission, though, has been down there for about a century, right?
113
years. We're getting some pretty good history here in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, you bet.
But it's always been kind of in the same general location?
Since 1972, it's been in that general location. Otherwise, before that, it was more downtown, but downtown Holiday Inn and in those areas there. So
there used to be shanty towns in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, I drove past a place there, or an area the other day, and that's all cleaned up, and there is no more of that shanty town kind of thing there in that area. So.
Well, that's because, I think, because of the Union Gospel Mission and the Salvation Army and the city has been working on that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of work been done over the last few years in trying to find affordable housing for those that, I don't know what's affordable for a lot of the people.
Some are by choice, though, aren't they?
Some are by choice, and it doesn't take long to weed them out, but a lot of them are, some of the bad choices that they made put them in the predicament they're in, but some of the others, it's an intentional bad choice.
And I've said it before, but it's sad to say that it's a third of them are veterans.
Yeah, at least a third, yes.
It has something to do with trauma, I think, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. We're seeing so much of that, the people that come in. I think if the mission, I think we'd be running closer to 45-46% are veterans, and most of them have to do with the emotional makeup and the instability that they are struggling with every day.
And it's not just the stereotype of men. We see women and even families, kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had a woman not too long ago that had been in the service, and she was just having a hard time existing day to day. And it was the trauma that from war and everything else.
I think they just get us down to just as much basic or as simple as things can be, which is pretty much not having anything.
Yeah, right.
They used to say pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but we're finding out now that people really can't do it by themselves.
No, there needs to be a support. There needs to be something. Even if you go back and think about it in the spiritual sense, that's part of the help up. So it takes God and it takes men and women to be supportive of each other.
Hope can only be defined when everything seems hopeless.
Right. You got to know that you're hopeless first.
And a lot of those people have given up on hope.
A lot of them give them up on themselves because they haven't experienced the hope that a lot of the rest of us have had. So.
And some of them are pretty young.
Very young. We're still running around 30 is the average age of the people that come to the mission. Overall, the women's side, it would be a lot younger than that. I haven't run a test on that for a long time, but they're quite a bit younger than 30.
And people don't like to hear it. It's even hard to talk about, but there's a lot of suicide still.
Yes, there are. Much more than what we know that is going on.
Well, you know, back in the 70s, during the farm crisis, there was a lot of obituaries didn't really say exactly what mm-hmm. was the real reason. There's many reasons, but for the people in Sioux Falls, we read where the unemployment's low.
Right.
But that's hard. That makes it hard for people to even get a job, but most of the jobs that people have isn't going to go very far.
No, that's the problem. There's too many jobs that are part-time or on and off, and it's really tough. And we really push the people to get out and look for a job. Look for, we call a job a 40-hour week thing, and they're not finding many 40-hour weeks. They're finding 20 to 25, and that's about it.
That's because of the insurance guideline.
Yes, yeah.
They have to pay insurance if you work 40, but if you work 25, they don't have to pay insurance. Some are working two or three jobs of
yeah.
25.
We've got one lady that's working or staying at the mission now, and she's got two part-time jobs, and she's working her tail off trying to get her credit card debt paid off, which wasn't very much, but she felt it was. And so it's fun to see somebody like that working so hard to get dig themselves out of the hole.
And to actually pay the bill rather than just trying not to ignore
right.
it again. And how many people are at the Union Gospel Mission right now?
Well, right now, last night, I think was it dropped off a little bit all of a sudden this last week, but we were still pushing close to 100. And 2 weeks ago, we were quite a bit over 100. We ended up for 3-4 days that we had 54 women and children in our 48-bed facility.
And that's hard to think about. You know, kids, they don't have any choice on who their parents are.
Right.
They don't have any. It wasn't their fault that their parents, you know, the parents is one thing, but the adults is one thing. But the kids had no choice to be in that
yeah.
situation.
And that's the thing that we try to do. We try to encourage the kids to listen to mom. Mom is having a tough time now, and listen to mom. Be good for mom. And like, we take that approach. And when you do that, the kids recognize that as encouragement and support. And, I mean, they're instantly all over you. They just, because they pick up on the caring attitude.
They need that at that age. Fran, Thanksgiving, how was it?
We had a fantastic Thanksgiving. We had 350 people for dinner, and we had 81 volunteers. And it went over really well and was well received, and it was just a good day.
It's kind of interesting. I listened to on the television where it's a popular thing in Hollywood now to go to serve the food lines.
Yes. But, you know, those people that came there, they went home blessed because they experienced something that they never even considered would be the way it was.
How do you put that in words?
You don't. Just thank you. I mean, have a good time. I mean, because, and it doesn't make any difference what age that come. Some of the older people that came, we had one fellow who was 82, I think he was, and he was limited a little bit to what he could do, but not completely. And I caught him observing the people, and the look on his face was worth $1 million because you could see the hurt and the joy both on his face, because he'd see something and the kids were doing something or the people were whatever it was, but it was really having an effect on his emotions and his heart.
He was in his 80s?
Pardon me?
He was in his 80s?
Yeah, he was one of the volunteers.
Well, when you see that in a kid's face, I don't know of anybody that wouldn't say that makes the whole thing worthwhile.
Yeah, and that's our concern. We're growing so much in the women and children's area that, well, we just expanded 2 years ago to 48 beds for women and children, and we've had a few nights that we were 50 and above. We had one night we had 54 people there, and 36 of them were children.
And the kids, again, we're so lucky. I was so lucky to be born into the parents that I had. But those parents, a lot of them came here because they're looking for jobs. They came to Sioux Falls because they're looking for jobs. But how did they get started?
Yeah, it's pretty tough when a mom comes and has 6 or 8 kids. How do you start putting, even where do you begin?
You can't even go to McDonald's for less than $50.
Right.
When
yeah.
you got that many kids.
And so that's getting to be the big challenge that we have, is dealing with somebody like that and try to get them to focus on that they have a responsibility and that they need to do something about themselves, and then the kids will be taken care of.
Those kids are pretty versatile. They can take a lot, but again, they're in a situation of not their choice. But, friend, the city talks a lot about, you know, giving millions of dollars to developers to develop low-income housing, but is a lot of it really low-income housing that we need?
Some of that low-income housing, there's a lot of people can't even afford that. But and the problem that I see that we got to really be careful of is in developing those kind of places is that It's something that fits the need of the people that have a need. You take the one mom that came there, and she had, believe this, four sets of twins.
What's the odds of having four sets of twins?
Right. What's the odds of me ever seeing that in my lifetime, yeah. Four sets of twins? But, I mean, she was a mess. I mean, everything about her, that whole situation was a real mess. But, I mean, we were making some progress and stuff. But to find housing for that, I think the youngest one was like 3 or 4 months. Maybe it was 5 months was the youngest one. And the oldest one was 15.
They have to have bedrooms.
Yeah. And that's what's not available out there. There's quite a bit of available for, you know, a two-bedroom or some three bedrooms. But in the regulations on how they can get on the housing is pretty stiff. And so it makes it a big issue for those larger families.
Federal government's cutting back on the WIC program. You see that affecting kids?
Yeah, I think we'll see it affect. And maybe that's part of the reason that we're starting to see more increase in the number of meals, because if you don't have enough to make it through the month, you're going to fall short someplace along the line. And this is what we're seeing. It's such an increase in the meals that we serve down there. We've, at this point in time, already had served more meals this year than we did last year.
We see that at the banquet, Salvation Army.
I think they're all experiencing the same thing, yeah.
Banquet's going to start now on the west side.
West side, yes.
Because people can't get to the east side.
Yeah.
The buses don't run after 6 o'clock.
Right.
The reason I brought you in this weekend, Fran, because we've had you on for many years, is Christmas is coming up. I wanted to talk about the Thanksgiving you just had. Let's talk about Christmas, because Christmas is all about giving, and for those who are the least.
Yes, that's the challenge that we have. That's the opportunity that we have. Is Thanksgiving is late this year, and so now we really got to get on the stick and get ready for Christmas. And with the increase in numbers of lodging and meals and everything like that, I don't know really which way to turn, but like I told my wife the other day, I says what we need to do is just plow into it, get at it, and do the best we can, and we'll have to see what happens. But I'm afraid that we're going to break the records that we had last year at Christmas time, which was 485 people Christmas Day.
How many of those were kids?
Well, you know, we give away gifts and to all the people, and then the kids get to go through the toy store, and 96, I think it was, were children.
Again, if you're a kid, it's not your fault that you're there.
Right. And this is the thing that you see. All of a sudden, hey, I get to go through this toy store. And we set it up like a toy store, and they're able to pick their own gifts, certain number, whatever works, and they're standing there, their eyes are as big as saucers, and just waiting and waiting to go in there, because we take them through gently so that everybody can have some kind of order to it. But the excitement that is there is indescribable, actually. You see they're excited, but you just don't know exactly what's going on in their mind and in their heart.
And it's nothing new. I mean, this has been, you know, there is a Tiny Tim.
Right.
Sometimes they're happier leading a simple life, I guess, as I call it. But this is a weekend of materialism.
It is.
Everybody going out to get the, you know, and I don't blame them. You know, they're going out to get something that they couldn't afford by getting it on sale. But it's all about getting it. Do they really need that Xbox? Do they really need that bigger TV?
Yeah. And that's the challenge that we have, and we try to implant this in the people when they come there, that the things that we collect together to give away at Christmas time, that they're very practical kinds of things, not stuff that's out of like the Xbox and all that kind of stuff. We want the stuff that they got a hands-on experience, a basketball, a soccer ball, some games, and things of that nature, so that they have to relate to the gift in order to really enjoy the gift.
Do you need, or how do you get these gifts?
Well, this is a project we work all year long. Our auxiliary is a major part in that, that they challenge everybody and bring gifts together. And then some groups that have stepped up to the plate and helped with bringing those gifts in. And the thing of it is, we don't have a clue whether we're going to have 20 under 4 and 20 4 to 8 or whatever. We don't have a clue until it happens that day. And so we just kind of plan to be flexible, and that's where when people contribute to the toy fund or to Christmas fund, then we can look at it and say, okay, we need a little bit more of this and a little bit more of that, because we have a tendency to look at the little child. That poor child. He's got a rough bum rap, but there's a lot of teenagers, a lot of 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 year olds in these families that come, that we have really focused on trying to find gifts for that age, because people don't give to people that age. They give to that little tyke because it's more fun to see that, but the girls and the boys, that give them a new basketball. Man, I mean, they hang on to that thing. I mean, there's war if somebody grabs that basketball. And so this is the thing. We try to build memories for those children. And I could tell you a story or so about that kind of thing, that years later we have run into some of these children in the street, and they say, "Hey, friend, hey, Rory." They remember that. And so that's kind of what it's all about. It isn't so much about the gifts that we give to them on that day, but it's about the experience that they had while they were at the mission, the whole package, the chapel service, the dinner, and the gifts, and all of the excitement that goes on.
Tell us about your program. If somebody says, okay, they've got the debts, they've got the problems, they've got needs, what they say, okay, we're gonna turn it around. It takes a long time. It takes a lot of hard work. But you have a program that if they say that they're going to dedicate the effort to it, that tell us about it.
Yeah, we have a discipleship program that is a real challenge, both for the student and for us, because they have a hard time making a commitment to anything because they're not used to that. They roam and bounce from here to there, and they just don't make good commitments. We see that in our whole society, actually. And so for them to make a commitment, and this is a commitment that they have to make, and I tell them right up front, don't do it if you're not committed to it. Don't waste your time, because you won't really get much out of it, or you probably won't even finish it. And I think because we approach it that way, the success rate of the minimum of 6 months that they can come in, and there's three Bible studies a day, there's work therapy, which is 4 hours a day that they do assigned areas and so forth. There's an education program available that can even get them a GED if they want it, but it brings them back up to speed. It kind of rejuvenates the schooling that they had, and learning to focus on taking care of themselves and doing something for themselves, and don't worry about everybody else around. So many people tell me, "Boy, I've tried this, I've tried that," and my response is, "Well, stop it," because it's trying doesn't cut it. It's commitment.
We read so much for California has so many people in prison. United States has so many more in prison than other countries. The county commission here in Minnehaha County is going broke, with court costs. If you can take a person out of that and make him a taxpayer, you're saving all of us taxpayers a lot of money.
Yeah, you bet. I've got one person now that just wanting to come on the discipleship program, and he's just coming out of prison and really desiring to do something with his life. And so this is going to be a fun thing. And the thing with when they come out of prison, they've experienced some discipline in their life, and they come there knowing that, well, if I step up to the plate and do what I need to do, maybe things will work for me this time.
We have people listening up on the Hill right now. You know, it's interesting, when we became a state, Sioux Falls was offered either a university or a penitentiary, and they chose the penitentiary because it would be immediate jobs.
Right.
And they've got a perfect view from the top of the hill up there, but it's not easy. You know, I live in an apartment complex that's crime-free. If you have a criminal record, you can't get an apartment.
This is a big challenge, and everything that we do down there is somewhat connected to, with an attitude of the program. And boy, I mean, to get somebody into an apartment that's got any kind of a record, you got to know someone in order to do that, because I can understand they've taken too many challenges and they've got some real problems. But there's very few out there that will just take it as it is. And I think, yeah, I might say this, I mean, we got people listening, that this is the thing. If you want to do something about yourself, remember this, that that is the challenge out there, and you need to present yourself as that you're dead serious about putting that all behind, even though you will be unfairly challenged and judged. Just put it behind and move forward. That's really what all of us need to do.
Fran, you speak with the authority of having been there yourself.
Yeah, I've tried a little bit of everything.
You've been with the Union Gospel Mission 38 years, but tell us about those early years.
Well, I knew better. That was the whole thing. I was raised well. I was raised on, the Bible was not called the Bible, it was called the instruction book. And we lived by that, and I chose to do my own thing, and I went out and I rambled around the country, and a little more sophisticated than some, because I always had a truck, I had a place to sleep, a few bucks in my pocket, and could make it out, and got wrapped up in the fast life, the wine, women, and song. I wasn't afraid to pick up some drugs and peddle them to help pay my gas bill. And what a messed up life it became because of it, because it wasn't just me. It affected my family, it affected my parents, it affected my friends. But once you make that commitment and decide to do something different, life changes. And it's a constant, ongoing experience of having a relationship with something that's very, very healthy for you.
Fran, if you were to have a picnic with all the alumni of the Union Gospel Mission, it would be a pretty big crowd, wouldn't it?
It would be a huge crowd. It would. And that's, you know, occasionally we get somebody that shows up and comes back, and we haven't seen them in years or something. But I've been getting occasional notes and an occasional gift to the mission from some of them people that have been at the mission over the last years. They're just saying thank you.
Fran, you've seen it, you've been there 38 years, but you've seen society change as we read and hear so much about the disparity between those who have and have not.
Right.
And it's getting more of the have not. The middle class is more of the working poor now.
Right.
And it's basically paycheck for paycheck for a lot of people. And if they lose that, they could be up in, they could be knocking on your door.
Right. And I'm watching very closely at what the change in the people is. And when I came there, you know, it was 80% was transient people. And now it's about 55 to 60% of the people that stayed at the mission last night are Sioux Falls residents for 1 year or longer, because the check didn't go far enough for some other situation or health issues, and just a whole slug of stuff. And But one thing that we're seeing is that, you know, we have a nightly chapel service at the mission that we've got 50-some churches involved in. And we're seeing people that come to chapel that are not staying at the mission, or some of them are not even eating at the mission. It becomes their social center, if you will, or it becomes their living room. It's a place to hang out, to fellowship with people and so forth. And we're seeing a pretty decent increase in that kind of a person coming and enjoying the evening activities.
If there wasn't that group of churches you work with, the Union Gospel Mission, the Salvation Army, and the other things that you network with, then we would be carrying quite a bill for the city and the county.
Well, if you look at, we'll probably beat 90,000 meals this year, probably pretty close to 95,000 meals. We'll sleep 29,000 people. And if you put it, 29,000 nights lodging up in any motel, the cheapest one, $25 a pop, we would have a pretty good bill here in the city.
That's what I'm saying. To try and relate to the fact that there's people out there that say, well, I can do it. You know, I'm paying taxes. Why should I help these people, type of thing? It's more than that. And in the last couple of minutes I have is because it's all about the children.
Right.
The families.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the transients. There's the traumatic, post-traumatic stress or whatever. But again, those kids did not choose to be in that family. That's their family.
And it's, you know, I've been there long enough to recognize now that a lot of the adults that are there are people who were kids at the mission when I first come there.
It's a vicious circle.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and to try and break that circle of dependence, I guess you might say. Yeah.
I had a young gal come in the other day. This is quite a story. Came in with her parents, and this whole mess was a real mess when they came in 18 years ago. This gal came in and asked if she could volunteer at the mission. She had some time on her hands and got to find out she was 3 years old when she stayed at the mission with her whole family. Well, sad to say, that whole family is kind of split and so forth. It was a bad scene all the way. In fact, it was so bad that I had the real urge to knock the chip off to the father's shoulder 18 years ago.
Well, again, like I say, I wanted to talk to you after Thanksgiving. Christmas is coming. It's a short time between Thanksgiving to Christmas this year. But, friend, if people want to help, how do they get a hold of you?
They can call 334-6732 and just ask for me, or I'll even give you my cell number, 201-6814.
Friend, there's new people knocking on your door every night, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely.
There's somebody that dies every winter. As much as people work and try, there's somebody that freezes underneath the bridge every year. We know that.
Right. They don't have to. They can knock on our door and we'll wrestle through the situation in one way or another.
Well, for those out there that want to know the real meaning of Christmas, to help those who are the least, which is what the Bible's all about.
Right.
To learn the real aspect of giving. Fran Stenberg, I want to thank you for being with us on this program, but this is something that's all year round.
And that's what we really need to focus on. That's been my goal this last year, is to try to get that message out, and that I would approach it, that it is an everyday problem. It's not just a holiday problem.
And I guess what I want to say again, and the reason I brought you in for this weekend when everybody's out shopping so much, is it's all about those kids.
It's all about the kids. Kids are going to be what our future is.
They didn't choose to be there. Fran Stenberg, Union Gospel Mission, 113 years. You've been there 38. I want to thank you again for being with us on Forum.
Thank you, and thank you, community.